Hello everyone, I'm Dr. Rajeshwari Rapata and you're listening to Anatomy at the Art of Healing. So today we are going to discuss about the types of the neurons and the different aspects. Types of neurons? Neurons are classified in several ways. First one, according to the number of the processes they carry, that is the neurites, and according to the length of the axons, the neurons are also classified further. So according to the number of processes, they may be called as unipolar. For example, the mesencephalic nucleus, they have the unipolar neurites processes, whereas secondly, the pseudo unipolar, that is the sensory ganglia and spinal ganglia, are some of the examples which have pseudo unipolar. Bipolar, they are seen in the spiral and vestibular ganglia and bipolar neurons of the retina. There are also multipolar neurons which are seen in the cerebrum and cerebellum. So in this way, they are classified according to the number of processes. Now coming to the length of the axon. According to the length of the axon, the neurons are classified as Golgi type 1 neurons with a long axon and Golgi type 2 neurons, that is microneurons, with short axon or absolutely no axon. Now coming to the dynamic polarity. The neurons show dynamic polarity in their processes. What is this dynamic polarity? So that is the impulse which flows towards the soma in the dendrites and away from the soma in the axon. However, in certain microneurons where the axon is absent, the impulse can flow in either direction through their dendrites. That is this dynamic polarity. Now, what is synapse? The neurons form the long chain along which the impulses are conducted in different directions. Each junction between the neurons is called as synapse. It is important to know that the contact between the neurons is by contiguity and not by continuity. So this is neuron theory which was presented by Waldeyer in 1891. The impulse is transmitted across a synapse by specific neurotransmitters like acetylcholine, the catecholamines, noradrenaline and dopamine, the serotonin, histamine, glycine, GABA and certain other polypeptides. So that's about the synapse. Further, the most common types of synapse which are seen are exodendritic, somatosomatic, somatodendritic. In the synaptic glomeruli, you'll find groups of axons. They make contact with the dendrites of one or more neurons for the complex interactions. So functionally, a synapse may either be inhibitory or excitatory. So that's all about the synapse. Now coming for the neuroglia. The neuroglia, the non-excitable supporting cells of the nervous system, they form the major components of the nervous tissue. So different types of cells you'll see, that is the neuroglial cells which are found in the parenchyma of the brain and spinal cord, the ependymal cells which lines the internal cavities or the ventricles, capsular or satellite cells surrounding the neurons of sensory and autonomic ganglia, the Schwann cells which forms the sheaths of the axons of the peripheral nerves, several types of supporting cells ensheathing the support and the sensory nerve terminals, the motor and the sensory nerve terminals. It ensheaths these and then supports the sensory epithelia. The neuroglial cells, which are found in the parenchyma of the brain and spinal cord, they are further broadly classified as the microglia of the ectodermal origin, neural origin comprises of astrocytes, oligodendrocytes and glioblasts, whereas the microglia, which are of the mesodermal origin. Now all these glial cells are much smaller but far more numerous than the neural cells or nerve cells. Now these are the astrocytes. Now, according to the name, which suggests that the cells are star-shaped because of their numerous processes which radiate from its body towards different directions. Then are these astrocytes. They are further divided into two types, classified into two types. One is the protoplasmic astrocytes with thick and symmetrical processes which are found in the gray matter. The fibrous astrocytes with thin and asymmetrical processes are found in the white matter. The processes of astrocytes often end in plate-like expansions on the blood vessels, ependyma, the pile surface of the CNS. This way you find the different kinds of astrocytes. Now coming for the oligodendrocytes. As the name suggests, these cells have very few cell processes. According to their distribution, the oligodendrocytes may be intrafascicular or perineuronal. The intrafascicular cells, these are found in the myelinated tracts, whereas the perineuronal cells are seen on the surface of the somata of the neurons. Then another type of cells you'll find are the glioblasts. The glioblasts are stem cells which can differentiate into macroglial cells. These are particularly numerous beneath the ependyma. Next type are microglia. So micro itself suggests they are the smallest of the glial cells, which have a flattened cell body with few short fine processes. They are often related to capillaries and are said to be phagocytic in nature. Microglial cells are possibly derived from circulating monocytes which migrate into the CNS during the fetal and early postnatal life. So these are the different types of cells in the nervous system, the neuroglia. Now coming to the functions of the glial and the ependymal cells. They provide mechanical support to neurons. Because of their non-conducting nature, the glial cells act as insulators between the neurons and then prevent neuronal impulses from spreading in unwanted directions. They can also remove the foreign material and cell debris by phagocytosis. They can repair the damaged areas of the nervous tissue by proliferation, that is gliosis. They form glial scar tissue and fill the gaps which are left by the degenerated neurons. And then glial cells, they can take up and store neurotransmitters released by the neighboring synapses. These can either be metabolized or released again from the glial cells. They help in neuronal functions by maintaining a suitable metabolic and ionic environment for the neurons. Oligodendrocytes, myelinate tracts. The ependymal cells, these are further concerned with exchanges of material between the brain and CSF. So these are the multiple functions of the glial and the ependymal cells. Next one is blood-brain barrier. So what is it? Blood-brain barrier. You see that when certain dyes, when they are injected intravenously, they fail to stain the parenchyma of brain and spinal cord. Although they pass easily into the non-nervous tissues, However, the same dyes, when injected into the ventricles, they enter the brain substances easily. This indicates that a barrier exists at the capillary level between the blood and the nerve cells. For the possible structures constituting the blood-brain barrier are capillary endothelium with fenestrations, basement membrane of endothelium, the end feet of the astrocytes covering the capillary walls, the barrier, the blood-brain barrier, it permits a selective passage of blood contents to the nervous tissue. Thus, the toxic and harmful substances are ordinarily prevented from reaching the brain. Such an excellent mechanism, isn't it? Then there is the reflex arc. This reflex arc, it is the basic functional unit of the nervous system, which can perform an integrated neural activity. Now, coming to its simplest form, a monosynaptic reflex arc, it is made up of a receptor, for example, the skin, then a sensory or afferent neuron. Then it also has a motor or efferent neuron and an effector. For example, the effector can be a muscle. The complex forms of the reflex arc, they are polysynaptic because of the addition of one or more interneuronal neurons, that is in between the afferent and the efferent neurons. This reflex arc, an involuntary motor response of the body, it is called as the reflex action. The stretch reflexes, for example, the tendon jerks, are examples of the monosynaptic reflexes. Whereas the withdrawal reflex response, suppose there is a painful stimulus and there is a response, that is called as the polysynaptic reflex. So that's about the reflex arc. Coming to the peripheral nerves and spinal nerves. Peripheral nerves, they are solid white cords composed of bundles, fasciculi, of nerve fibers. Each nerve fiber here is an axon with its coverings, and the nerve fibers are supported and bound together by connective tissue sheaths at different levels of organization of the nerve. The whole nerve trunk is ensheathed by epineurium and each fasciculus by perineurium, and each nerve fiber, it is covered by delicate endoneurium. This toughness of a nerve is because of the fibrous sheaths. Otherwise, the nerve tissue itself is very delicate and friable. Now, coming to the spinal nerves, there are 31 pairs of spinal nerves, which include 8 cervical, 12 thoracic, 5 lumbar, 5 sacral, and 1 coccygeal. So, we will study in detail about the spinal nerves and how to determine and how to remember these spinal nerves in the next episode. Stay tuned till then. This is Dr. Rajeshwari Rappatta signing off for now.